The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. So much to get to today. First of all, how you doing, Kelly Bidlin? You good?
Doing good, man. How are you?
How'd you do in the golf tournament? You all right?
Okay. It was a loser. It was a small loser. I thought it was about to be a bloodbath. Matt Brown and I were drinking our sorrows away on Saturday night, but had Cantlay, Schauffele, Tyrrell Hatton. Tyrrell Hatton was big. Make runs into top 20 yesterday, so it helps mitigate some of the losses.
Yeah. I had Scheffler and Rory, so with Scheffler, I had the Kelly Bidlin experience of finishing second.
I did think about you. Yeah. I hopped on Scheffler live, so when it ended that way, I was like, I did think of you. I was like, Gil, welcome to the Kelly Bidlin experience.
I did dead heat low round on him yesterday, so that got back some of
nice.
It. Yeah, that was nice. But it's dead heat, so, you know, it's the
math. I didn't even know he got that low.
Yeah, him and four others were 500 for the round. But Brooks Koepka wins his fifth major. We'll get into all that with Wes Reynolds a little later on. Kelly and I will talk about it as well. Nick Whalen on the NBA. Paul Spohr, a little baseball in the middle of the show. Andy McNeil on a Stanley Cup conference finals, plural, where all four games have gone to overtime. And we have two 2-0 series. It really is that random. Florida, Vegas, right down the driver's seat. Two traditional hockey towns. Vegas and South Florida.
Let's go. Give me the Kelly Bidlin Stanley Cup Finals.
That's
Vegas
right.
And Florida.
So we look forward to that as that goes on. We'll talk to Andy McNeil. I'm not sure. He has one lean. He doesn't really have necessarily a bet, but we'll get some macro thoughts from him. I do want to start, of course, with the NBA. Or maybe you wanted to start with PGA, but I want to start with the NBA because I want to make some bigger points about this Celtics. See, whereas the Stanley Cup playoffs has four games that all went to overtime, we might be on the cusp of the first ever double sweep in the NBA conference finals in the history of the National Basketball Association. We will know this after tonight's and tomorrow night's results, as both the Nuggets are up on the Lakers 3-0 and the Heat are up on the Celtics 3-0. We'll get to the Lakers and Nuggets in a bit, but yesterday, and I don't want to get too much into details because I know everybody in mainstream media is going to be killing the Celtics today, and justifiably so. They just look like they gave up, and Mazzulla's just been outcoached. But Heat led by 8. We won't do too many details on the game because I want to make two big macro points here. But the Heat led by 8 after the first quarter. They led by as many as 22 in the second quarter in Game 3 yesterday. The Celtics ended the half on a 9-2 run. They got it to 15 at the half, and you thought, okay, maybe, even though it was the lowest scoring half of the postseason for Boston, maybe that run at the end of the first half might fuel them a little bit. Nope, wasn't the case. Third quarter, the Heat led by as many as 33. They led by 30 after the third quarter. Boston only scored 17 third quarter points. The Heat end up winning it by 26, 128-102 for underbettors yesterday. Oh, my God. A 74-point fourth quarter torpedoing.
Oh, man.
Just absolutely torpedoing your bet. Apologies from the gambling universe for that.
I didn't even think about that.
Tatum ended up with 14, Brown with 12. That's Tatum with 14 and Brown with 12. Tatum and Brown combined for 1 of 14 from behind the arc yesterday, 7 of 40 from behind the arc for the series. By contrast, let's just focus on the undrafted free agents of the Miami Heat, Vincent, Martin, Robinson, and Strus. The ones that play the most, that is. Vincent with 29 yesterday on 11 of 14 shooting, 6 of 9 from behind the arc. Robinson with 22 on 7 of 11 shooting, 5 of 7 from behind the arc. Caleb Martin, 18, 7 of 11 shooting, 4 of 7 from behind the arc. And Strus added 10. Butler, 16, 8 and 6. 79 combined points, by the way, for those four undrafted free agents. Butler, I said 16, 8 and 6. But the Heat, bottom line, 19 of 35 on threes. That's 54.3% yesterday. The Celtics were only 11 of 42. That's 26.2%. If I needed one stat to tell me what happened in the game, that's the only one you really need. Miami, 56.8% period from the floor. And the three-point shooting, by the way, getting back to that for this series. Game one, in points, Miami was plus 18. Game two, they were plus 24. Game three, plus 24 again. So I just want to make broader. We all know the Celtics are cooked, but I just want to make a couple broader points. And I don't want to. The initial part of this is gonna sound like look at me, Kelly, but that's not my point here. Because listen, I had the Warriors. The only pre-flop futures bet I made before this postseason was the Warriors to win the West, as we all know, and that is a loser. But you know, Friday night, we're all headed to the parlay wedding. Friday night, I get into St. Louis, and I want to get the exact bets. So I had, first of all, before the game, I took Miami for the series at plus 199 when they're down 1-0. I bet them again plus 212 when the Heat were up 6 in the first quarter. Bet them +8.5 at halftime for the second half. Then yesterday, I had my – yesterday when the line went, the pre-flop line went all the way up to the Celtics -4.5. And I'm saying to myself, what is this? What is happening? Bet Miami first quarter. Bet Miami first half ATSN money line. Bet Miami game ATSN money line. And again, I'm not saying this to say, oh, my God, look at me. What I'm saying this to say is sometimes sports betting, while we're sitting here grinding tennis or grinding golf or grinding baseball, whatever it is that you do on a daily basis sports betting-wise, sometimes sports betting throws a meatball to you right down the center of the plate. And like so many things that sports betting is a human, it's a reflection of the human condition. Like so many things in life, you have to be able to recognize the opportunity when it happens. And if we put together, if we had the resources, Kelly, if I said before this show, I was like, put together all of the clips of this show where I said something about Spoelstra versus Mazzulla, or telling all my guests, like when we went into break, I was like, hey, what do you think the series is going to be when we come back? Yep. And I remember with you, I was like, you going to learn.
2-1 Boston.
You going to learn. Right? I kept saying stuff like that. Or the analytics cited about the Heat, the deflected balls, the points off screens, all of these very, you know, the loose balls recovered, the loose basketballs recovered. The Celtics being the least championship-like of all of these Final Four teams. Remember, I asked all the guests that last week, and I felt the answer was clearly the Celtics. It's all of that is great, but it's all what it, the point of that is, it's all a study, a fascinating study in how the betting market, the reputation of a team, the Celtics, or the perception that they were the better team, somehow trumped what was so clearly in front of people's eyes for this entire postseason. And sometimes that happens. And then the line still goes the other direction. And you have to be able to say to yourself, what in God's name is happening? I must bet this, and I must bet this with conviction. Because it'll, by the way, if you're having trouble in other sports, it'll erase a lot of that pain real quick. Or maybe you're doing well in the other stuff, and this will just boost it into a turbo for you. So that's the first of the two things. The first of the two things is sometimes just trust your eyes. Over and over again, this is so apparent. The cousin of that, the adjunct of that is, we've talked on this show, and I think we got into this accidentally with Jay Kahn, of all people, who does hockey with us, where we got into this notion of, you know, Jay Kahn didn't watch the NBA regular season. He just showed up for the postseason. And I, you know, we sort of got into this side. I was like, this is such a great point, because sometimes you can be taken off the scent of something. Because we always talk about, hey, big sample size means more than small sample size. And we're all, and on this show, we're all analytics people, and we all believe if you don't not doing anything with numbers, you're probably doing this wrong. But I said with the Jay Kahn thing, I'm like, hey, look, you know, maybe not watching the NBA season this year actually turned out to be a good thing when it came specifically to the Miami Heat. Because we cited a whole bunch of metrics. They're 28th in this offensive category, 27th in this, 29th in this during the regular season.
Cost me a lot of money.
Cost you a lot of money. let's take that one step further. Maybe I wasn't going far enough with that. So I had a little exchange yesterday by text with Felica and Will on this. Maybe I wasn't taking that far enough. Maybe we can even take it to the extent, and this is going to be tough for a guy like you, who is a big NBA guy, or any of our NBA analysts who delve in this stuff on a day-to-day and a week-to-week basis during the season. But maybe, I won't say it's widespread in the NBA. It doesn't apply to every team. But maybe with a team like the Heat, and maybe this applies to more teams than we'd like to admit, the regular season is filled with dirty data. That these teams in an 82-game schedule so don't care about the day-to-day and the week-to-week, so only give a care about what is going to happen when it really matters late, that to actually pay so close attention and to actually be so close to the sun on a team's data over an 82-game schedule, the Heat being the greatest example, not only takes you off the scent, but actually causes you to lose money in the end because you are so entrenched, and I'm talking about you, I'm saying the market is so entrenched on their perception of the Celtics on one hand and the Heat on the other, that what is before them night after night after night, come April and May, they just refuse to believe. That's a bad thing for NBA bettors. Do you feel there's any truth to that? That could possibly be a thing?
Yeah, I think possibly, and I think very, like, this is the one team. Like, I don't know that applies.
Don't you? But it's the one team we get to see it manifest.
Yes.
You think that it's multiple teams?
I don't know. I know what you're getting with here, and I agree with the Heat, but. Okay, like the Denver Nugget.
That's an example where the Denver Nuggets is actually exactly what we think. I'm not saying it's right. The whole league. Saying it's the whole league. But I think more than in other leagues where there's a 17-game schedule. How many play in the NFL now? 17-game schedule. College football, even fewer games, right? We've always said how hockey is random come postseason time. But maybe we just don't give college basketball's 30 games. Well, even college basketball has a little of this, right? Ed Feng's great about saying the preseason rankings, the AP preseason rankings, which bettors never pay attention to, actually manifest greater than the 30-game schedule during the college basketball season, where we get completely fooled by certain ups and downs. So I'm just saying maybe this is something that bettors need to keep in mind. And the Heat is the greatest example. How was that 4.5 last night? How did the money go the other way?
No idea.
Come on. Anyway, going on.
Yo, even on that, I turned a corner on that.
Yeah. Talk Lakers Nuggets. Talk PGA, because the PGA is unbelievable yesterday. Brooks Koepka. Gonna bet him for the U.S. Open? That and more on the other side. Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM in terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. A few more things about that before we move on with the Heat and the Celtics. One, so by the way, we're debating what's the opener going to be. As game three was winding down, we're debating what's the opener going to be for game four after the Celtics got all the way to -4.5. And I'm like, I mean, after seeing this, I was like, I said Heat -4.5. We had a Heat -3 from Will. And in the end, it ended up, Heat -1.5 as an opener. I immediately bet that. Immediately. I want to say I even took it to -1 at -122 just so I had the one, just so if they won by one.
I haven't bet it yet, but it's the only side to bet.
It's two now. And so there was that. By the way, did you catch, it happened for like a fleeting second, about how this was ridiculous, how it got to Celtics -4.5. Like, people were like, what have you watched to make you want to bet the Celtics in this? At one point during the broadcast yesterday, they flashed up the pre-flop number and the current number during the third quarter, I believe it was. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I saw this.
And Reggie Miller, who doesn't bet at all, right? This just drives home how Meshuggah this line was yesterday. Reggie Miller, who was the play-by-play? Was it Harlan yesterday? Before they went back to the action, so. Reggie Miller was like, wait, the Celtics were favored by 4.5? That drives my point home even further, where it's like, even he was like, that can't possibly be right. There's no way. The other part about this, which I think it needs to be said, which has nothing to do with betting necessarily, but I think that I do this every year with the Heat, and I haven't done it yet this year, and I'm going to say it again. So we think of dynasties in sports as sports fans, right? The Warriors dynasty. The Patriots dynasty, you pick your dynasty in whatever sport, and obviously basketball, the NBA has had its dynasties perhaps more than other sports in our lifetime. If the Eastern Conference was the NBA, right? So let's say we lived in a bizarro world where the NBA finals did not exist.
Yeah.
The Miami Heat would be the greatest dynasty of any team in any sport in our lifetime, besides the Patriots probably. Because the Heat And we don't think of them this way, right? Because we only count, what's Dame Lillard's thing? He goes, we only, this chip culture. We only count the chips. We only count championships, right? Now, people will say, well, because Dame Lillard's never won one and Charles Barkley's never won one. That's why they talk that way. But Miami, this is in the last 13 seasons, heading back to the LeBron, and I know the first four were LeBron, but in the last 13 seasons, this is the Heat's seventh Eastern Conference Finals appearance.
That's right. Not five, not six.
This is their seventh out of 13. And by the way, they're about to win their sixth Eastern Conference title. So because there's that one pesky additional best of seven series called the NBA Finals, we never think of them this way. But this organization, dude, should be mentioned with all of the elite ones in every sport. It's incredible what they're doing.
I think I'll just rally off a couple quick other stats about the Heat. So trailing double digits in fourth quarter in these playoffs, the Heat are 3-2, everybody else 1-54. Obviously, that didn't come into play yesterday, but came into play in game one and game two. Jimmy Butler's stats, what he's doing in this playoffs.
Incredible.
Only person to compare it to in NBA history, Michael Jordan. When you start talking about players that have 30-plus points, 5-plus rebounds, 5-plus assists, 2-plus steals, and over 50% from the field shooting, it's him and Michael Jordan. That's it in the history of the NBA playoffs.
I've heard of that guy.
And the Heat are back to the fourth quarters. Not that it mattered yesterday. They're outscoring teams by almost 20 points per 100 possessions in the fourth quarter.
Shall I cite the analytics again? Deflections, loose balls recovered, charges drawn, screen assists. Thank you, Kirk Goldsberry.
Yep.
What they do better than any team. Well, things that our eyes don't pick up on.
In some of the, we started talking about this at the end of last week, like if this was going to continue, right? The historical perspective from a betting standpoint, from, like you talked about in the first segment, some, you know, this is a team, maybe this is a Heat team that you can, you don't really draw from what they did in the regular season. But if you draw from what they did in the regular season, nobody expected them to be here. You know what I mean? And
no.
You've gotten past the Bucks.
And I didn't either, right?
You're right.
By the way, play-in games as late as that got crushed, right? In the 7-8 game, needed a 15-1 run to beat the Bulls late in the game for the eighth seed.
So what do we see? I mean, what do we see? We see them get past that. They beat the Bucks. Everybody who had the Eastern Conference rated, it was Bucks or Celtics 1-2.
And I made the case then, if you'll recall, that to me, that's the greatest series upset in the history of the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, it would have been close to me, too.
I gave you all the reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
People
agree.
Thought I was being a prisoner of the moment. I was not.
Well, and then Gil, I mean, let's talk about what the hell the fallout could be from Boston losing this series.
Oh.
I mean, the Heat might get two head coaches fired in the Eastern Conference with Boston and Milwaukee. That very well might happen. And oh my gosh, if the Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum divorce ends up happening directly because the Miami Heat dismantled you so badly, you've embarrassed yourselves and the entire city of Boston that someone's going to demand to break this up. It could be an incredible fallout.
And again, for anybody who's out there saying, wait, they haven't won a fourth game yet. Again, two sweeps in the same year in the NBA Conference Finals has never happened. Teams are 0-149 lifetime in NBA history, down 3-0 in a best of seven series. One more thing about this. If Tyler Hero's hand heals and he's able to go for the NBA Finals, don't the Heat just say, I think your hand still hurts, Tyler? Don't they say that? It doesn't look that good to me. You should probably keep sitting this out.
I just can't believe. I remember like openly.
And wear your bucket hats liberally.
I just remember openly laughing when we got injury timelines on him when he first got hurt.
Yeah.
And it's like, cool, just say he's done for the season.
Remember,
we're never going to see
Remember Barkley saying? He's like, this is a bigger – Tyler Hero being lost by the Heat is a bigger loss than the Bucks losing Giannis. Remember that back and forth when that happened?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I do have the Heat in game four. I got the Heat in the series at +199. So you're probably thinking, oh, smarty pants, what do you have for tonight's game between the Lakers and Nuggets? You talk about the Celtics, like what could happen to the Celtics? Well, the Lakers, like by contract, this team is going to have to make decisions also, right? Because you're going to probably want to try to keep Austin Reeves. But like, what do you do with D'Angelo Russell, who's going to want money? Rui Hachimura has played himself into money. Then you got Schroeder. Then you got Walker. Like, all these guys are set to be free agents. So that team is going to have to bust up in some way. You have so much money committed to AD and LeBron already that if you give $80 million now to Reeves, then what do you do? Because you can't let him go.
I'm with you. I think you have to.
I don't think you do. You can't.
You can't.
You can't. So then what do you do?
And then like JVT and I talked about this the other day, and I think you'll agree, Gil. Rui Hachimura is one of the, you're seeing one of the, like you talked about with the Heat being the perfect example. Rui Hachimura might be the perfect example of how do you know how good a player could be if he's playing alongside stars like LeBron James and Anthony.
You know how many times during this playoffs I've said, oh, that's Washington Wizard great Rui Hachimura, everybody.
I mean, that's where when he's in Washington and he's with a bunch of guys who are just as good as he is.
Bunch of guys.
He's struggling to stand out, right? Mm-hmm. You put him next. Everybody can talk whatever they want to talk about LeBron James. Put him next to LeBron and Anthony Davis. This guy all of a sudden looks like, what was he, the 10th overall pick? All of a sudden looks like a top 10 pick in the NBA in an NBA draft.
Do you want any part of this game tonight? Game 4, LA's Lakers are favored by 3. I want no part of this.
Like you were saying in the first segment, like, hey, you and I were texting on Friday. I know you made those Heat bets, right? I know a lot of people aren't going to believe a lot of things I got to say about that series because I was very heavy on the Celtics. I thought if you were watching the end of Game 2, you saw Boston quit then. And it was – everybody's talking about them quitting yesterday. I thought it was quitting at the end of Game 2. This one – I was on the Lakers on Game 3 pretty heavy. I think we talked about that here on Friday.
I never expected the Nuggets to win that game. Never.
Like I didn't expect it either. Yeah. And I'm sitting there. Matt and I were there sitting out at dinner watching the end of it. I mean, Jamal Murray, what he's doing is special. I can't wait to see this Denver Heat matchup. I really thought the Lakers were going to win that game. It was another bad beating I took in this NBA playoffs. NBA regular season, by the way, small winner for me. This playoffs has been an absolute disaster. This is going to be a losing season for me. This game tonight, Gil, I expect far more of an effort out of the Lakers than what you're going to see out of the Celtics or what you saw out of the Celtics yesterday, but I'm not betting it.
I mean, I'm not betting it pre-flop. I mean, I may jump it in game, but I'm not betting anything pre-flop here. It was the 13-0 run for the Nuggets. It was 94-93 Lakers with under 7:30 left on Saturday night. And then the Nuggets had that 13-0 run. They went up 12, and they cruised in from there, leading by as many as 14 late. And Jokic got in foul trouble. He had his fourth foul. You know, not even midway through the third quarter, he wasn't doing much, and the Nuggets still figured out a way. So I don't know. Like, I would expect the Lakers to, you know, force a game 5 at least, have that much pride in them tonight. But I don't know. I can't say that with any certainty. This series, much more surprising to me the way it's gone down than the other one.
Me too, yes. Me too.
Because I've always thought the Celtics were fraudulent, and the Heat have proven it time and time again what they are. This one is bizarre to me.
I thought this was going to be a really close series, so this is blowing my mind.
And in some ways it is, just not in the results. We'll talk with Andy McNeil. Stanley Cup playoffs next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your sports betting game to the next level this summer with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now for only $9.99 and get access to everything we do, including daily pro picks on all the summer action, including NFL and college football futures, premium analysis from our top team of handicappers and industry experts, 24/7 video access, and pro tools like our exclusive betting splits showing you where the public and sharp money is going to give you an edge. Start betting smarter. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe and sign up. Now, Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen. Oh, by the way, Carmelo announcing his retirement. Carmelo Anthony, 10-time NBA All-Star, 6-time All-NBA, 3-time Olympic gold medalist, and, of course, college basketball national champion with Syracuse, hanging it up.
11th on the all-time scoring list.
Which is amazing to think about. I was never a Carmelo guy.
Nah, I was.
Yeah. I mean, he's great. Listen, great score.
Great scorers, they always end up being like my guys.
Yeah, great score.
I was a big J.R. Smith guy.
28,000-plus points for Carmelo.
Oh, ninth all-time. I read it wrong.
Ninth all-time. And a member of the NBA's 75th anniversary team, it should be pointed out as well. One more thing. If tonight's game ends with the Nuggets winning and tomorrow's ends with the Heat winning and we'll have the first-ever sweeps in both conference finals, we will have 9 days until the NBA Finals. The NBA Finals is locked in to a June 1st start. Kelly, 9 days. It's like college football. It's like, when's the national championship? Oh, I forgot it. It didn't happen yet. That could happen.
I started thinking about that after the 2-0, after the series both went to 2-0 because... Yeah. This happens almost every year where we complain about it. So when you start thinking about, like, near sweeps in 9 days.
I've never had that before.
Yeah, never had that.
You all saying, like, this is such a great time to, like, figure out different markets to bet. You found Nuggets over Heat at what price this morning?
Minus 150 at a shop. I think this is a pro tip. We talk about it often of how do you make the same bet that's in different markets, right? Like, there's a lot of different markets that get hung. So whether to win the NBA Finals or if it was a series price, you know, of what it could be. I just found now that since these two series are still technically going on, I just found a shop that was hanging an exact outcome market for the NBA Finals, and they hadn't really fully adjusted that number to, the odds for the Nuggets to win the championship. They didn't match up, right? So you're seeing over minus, it's about minus 220, minus 200, I think, for the Nuggets.
Before these series began, I saw the exactas for all the combinations of the four teams. And I know this was the price because I looked right at it, thought about betting it, and didn't. Nuggets over the Heat was what? Guess. 12-1.
Whew.
Now, I don't remember what the Heat over the Nuggets was, but it's obviously longer than that. Yes. By a lot, probably.
So I'm looking at, like, DraftKings right now. Minus 215 for the Nuggets to win it all. All I'm saying is these, like, you're going to get a little bit. So Nuggets to beat the Heat at DraftKings is minus 200 on the exactas. So obviously it's 3-0. Could something we've never seen before happen? Yeah, it could. But my point is shop around because you might even be able to find a much better number than something like that. And it got me invested a little bit.
Okay, before we get to Andy, just last question here. Mm-hmm. Just for the hell of it. If either the Lakers, like, which team, the Heat or the Nuggets, would you feel would be more likely to succumb to the pressure if all of a sudden it got to 3-1? Like, which team would be more likely to, it's not going to happen, but I'm just saying, just for conversation, which would be the more likely to tighten up in your case? Who would feel the pressure more?
The Nuggets?
It's impossible to answer.
Nuggets, I guess, if that happens.
Yeah, I don't even know. Let's talk some hockey. Stanley Cup playoffs in full swing, unlike the NBA, which is Sweepsville, or it looks like it's on the cusp of Sweepsville anyway. We have four overtime games in the first four of the conference semis in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Andy McNeil joins us, our hockey analyst at Digital Gambler. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing pretty good, but I mean, it looks like it could be Sweepsville in the NHL conference finals as well. Probably not going to happen, but I mean, it's trending that way. The matchups have been closely contested, but the first time that we've ever seen the first four games in the conference finals go to overtime like this, and it's I guess not shocking, but kind of shocking to see it all work out in the way that it has and have both of these teams trailing 0-2.
Okay,
after two games.
So it's just me and you talking. Nobody's listening. We're just having a private conversation here. So then, shouldn't we just be betting the dogs on all these games? Seriously, Andy, just like, isn't that the best betting angle in all this?
Yeah, I mean, I came into the series with some conviction on the Dallas Stars. I obviously bet them on the series line at plus 120. Not a good bet in hindsight. But I think I'd be on Vegas, if nothing, heading into game three. I'm looking at that price. I've got it around Dallas minus 125. So I'm a lot closer to betting on Vegas now than I am betting on Dallas after this big adjustment heading into game three. The Stars are priced minus 135 at DraftKings, as high as minus 145 at some shops. I know Circa is up closer to minus 143 or somewhere around there. So some of the sharper books have a bigger price on the Stars. I'm not really in line with that. So if things can trend any more towards the Vegas Golden Knights, it would be Vegas or nothing for me.
So Stars are minus 145 in game three tomorrow. So you're leaning Golden Knights at about plus 120 right about now?
Yeah, I mean, I'd want better than that, but okay. I got a fair price around minus 125 in favor of the Dallas Stars. Seeing the best price in market right now, plus 126 on Vegas. So, getting close, I guess. If it ticks up a little bit more, then I'd be interested in betting the Vegas Golden Knights.
And then Panthers and the Hurricanes tonight. Panthers leading 2-0. We go back to Florida now, where the Panthers have it on their home ice. It's Panthers minus 115. You don't want any part of this.
No, I mean, I've got this one minus 106 in favor of the Florida Panthers. I think my run of betting Florida, which has gone pretty well over the last few weeks, not going to continue, at least in these two games, if the prices resemble what we're seeing here. You know, the Panthers were a much bigger underdog on the road. We've seen things shift here. I don't think Carolina, or I don't think Florida has played well enough in the first two games to justify betting them, you know, even arbitrarily. But looking back at the other two matchups that they had against Boston and Toronto, they played pretty poorly early in those matchups. I know they won the first two games versus the Leafs, first three games, but they really kind of changed the tone as the series shifted back to Florida and really started to grab some momentum back. So I think we could see that here, and the Panthers put forth probably their best effort of the series so far. Carolina has played pretty well, but I mean, playoff Bob, right? Sergei Bobrovsky's been unreal, and I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation if the Panthers do win the Stanley Cup. You know, who is it, Matthew Tkachuk or Sergei Bobrovsky? Who's the MVP? Tkachuk, of course, three overtime goals, and he's been just a lightning rod for that team. But Bobrovsky, I mean, they wouldn't be here without him right now. He's been unbelievable, and I'm glad I've been cashing in on the Panthers these last couple of weeks. But man, it's frustrating. Like, regular season save percentage, almost meaningless when it comes to trying to predict the save percentage in the NHL playoffs. And Sergei Bobrovsky's a great example. You don't know who the hot goaltenders are going to be until they're hot.
That's right. And that's the old, that's the other old Stanley Cup playoffs adage. You just bet the hot goaltender. And in this case, it happened to be Bobrovsky in the end. By the way, for the Conn Smythe, because I think that's interesting what you said, Tkachuk, who just had the winning goals in both of the last two overtimes in this series, he's plus 425. Bobrovsky is exactly that as well, plus 425. Now, if the Knights end up winning it all, you got Eichel at 5-1, you got Mark Stone at 6-1, everybody else is double digits. But it
Vegas
is an interesting question.
Favorite.
What's that?
Vegas would be a favorite in a series versus the Panthers in the Stanley Cup final. So those odds would shift if that's the matchup. You'd probably see Jack Eichel and Mark Stone, or at least Jack Eichel ahead of Matthew Tkachuk and Sergei Bobrovsky. But it's tough. Sorry, you were gonna follow it up with something.
No, I wasn't. I was just saying those are the DraftKings numbers, but shop around, right? Because we're flashing a BetMGM Conn Smythe, and Bobrovsky is +550. So, like, would that be a bet to you at this point?
It's something I'd consider for sure. I mean, I think it's going to be a really tough decision for voters. Now, you got to consider the Panthers' chances in a series against the Golden Knights, and they're only up 2-0 right now, and the Hurricanes are a tough team. They've battled back from these deficits before in past years, so I think it's I wouldn't say it's a bet right now, but it's something that's on my radar. I mean, I think Bobrovsky is the MVP at this moment, because the Panthers have really kind of been really caved in at times by some of these teams, and they wouldn't have escaped without Bobrovsky's amazing performances.
Okay, real quick, because we only have 30 seconds. So nothing tonight, leaning for the best price you can get on the Golden Knights tomorrow night in Game 3. We were just talking about exactas in the NBA. Obviously, you have two teams now in the Panthers and the Knights who are up 2-0. Is there an exact, like, if I told you one of the teams that are down 0-2 comes back and wins it, I'm assuming you think that's the Hurricanes, right? Might there be, like, if I said, what's your best exacta now?
I don't know, man. It's pretty close. I've got Carolina, or I've got Florida winning 81% of the time. I mean, they won those two games on the road. That's a big boost. I've got Vegas winning 79% of the time. So I'm not that far apart on either matchup. And we could see these things stretch on still.
So you think the Knights are the justifiable favorite to win it all now? Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Andy McNeil, thank you, man. Appreciate it as always. At Digital Gambler on the Twitter machine. We'll come back. Kelly's biggest betting takeaway from the PGA. And Paul Spohr on baseball. Some quarterly questions for him next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, laces up with a playoff parlay insurance offer. That's a playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25 if you miss one leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get back up to $25 in bonus bets if one leg in your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over, please. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. I said 21 and over, please. There's really no please there. It's 21 and over, period. I don't know why I said please. They're not, like, asking you. So the PGA, Brooks Koepka wins his fifth major. Real quick before we get to sport, because I want to talk some baseball. But he wins his fifth major, so only Tiger and Phil among active players have more than he does. By the way, three PGAs, you know, as well among the five. Three PGAs, two U.S. Opens. Not to mention he has four runner-ups in majors, 18 top 10s. He becomes the 20th golfer all-time with five-plus major titles. So he just left the Rory, old Tom Morris, four majors group and is now in the – I had to get old Tom Morris in there.
Good job. It's just great job.
And now he's in the Byron Nelson, Seve Ballesteros, five-major group. You betting him at 18-1 to win the U.S. Open, Los Angeles Country Club, next month?
I didn't yet. Brooks, man, he's back. He's back for sure, it looks like. I mean, I think watching that yesterday, you just think more and more about how sad it is we don't get to see these guys compete more often than just this, and that this lit PGA thing.
That is the sour footnote on
this. I tweeted something about it yesterday, Gil, and people were coming at me from different. I'm not choosing sides anymore. It's one of those just figure this out. Like, it sucks that we only get to see these kind of this kind of play happen at majors now, and Brooks, looks like he's back to being a stone cold killer. And it is. I'm going to take a lead. I'm not going to let it go. And if I do, you catch up to me, I'm taking it right back.
You know, as I always say about, like, as great as Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time, but nothing quite as hot when Klay Thompson gets hot, streaky. Mm-hmm. That's the Brooks Koepka thing in golf. He's just ridiculous when he's on.
And you know what? Like, real quick, like, that was. What happened to Corey Connors yesterday in yesterday's round, I think a lot of people could sit here and say they thought they saw it coming. Good for Corey Connors. Still a good week for him. He's a great ball striker. He'll be back in these positions again. Victor Hovland, who you know I love. We had Crack on last week talking about him playing poker in the Aria, like, you know, a couple weeks ago. Vic is impossible not to like. He had an all-time great ball striking week at the PGA, and who knows what happens if he doesn't hit that bunker shot and it comes right back, just like Connors did on Saturday.
Sticks it right in the mud, just like Connors did. We'll talk more golf coming up with Wes Reynolds. Paul Sporer joins us right now from Fangraphs, talking a little baseball as we're past the quarter mark of the season here, the first quarter of the Major League Baseball season. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm well, Gil. Thanks for not calling it the quarter bowl.
You're very welcome. That's always the three-quarter mark. Everybody knows that. Not everybody, but you're right.
Well, not enough people.
Not enough people know that. You're exactly right. Not enough people know that. Let me just ask you this, because we had Jeff Parlay, by the way. Everybody, congratulations to Jeff Parlay.
Yeah!
Jeff Parlay, holy matrimony this weekend. He got married in Chesterfield, Missouri, right outside of St. Louis. So we all flew into St. Louis. Wes was there. Wes Reynolds, Danny Burke, Todd Wishnev. Obviously Ben Wilson, the best man, including Jeff Parlay, who actually got married. So we're all there. It was awesome. But in flying into St. Louis, I was trying to go to the Cardinals game. I think Wes did go. My flight got delayed, so I couldn't. It was moments ago. It feels like seconds ago when we're like, oh, look, they have the worst record in the National League. Oh, my God. And then the Wilson, you know, Contreras were like, oh, my God, how did they blow this? He's never going to catch again. They're winning the division, aren't they, Paul?
I certainly still wouldn't be surprised, and I think we even talked about it. At the depths there when they were in last and looking buried, they weren't buried. The other teams did not run away and hide from them. So while there are issues with the Cardinals, I think it kind of starts at the top on the field. I'm not really bought in on anything Ali Marmol is doing. They might just be able to out-talent Marmol's decisions and still win this. The offense is great. I don't think the pitching is great, but I think it's probably good enough, and the ball should start bouncing their way a bit more. They're a pitch-to-contact kind of team. I think things were really working against them. We'll see if they make moves. Maybe they should trade out some of these guys that Marmol doesn't like if he's not going to use them. But, I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest. I don't think it'll necessarily be easy. The Pirates don't scare me. I'm not sure if the Cubs are ready. The Reds, of course, are bad. So it really comes down to the Brewers, and they're okay. They're just okay.
That's right. They're just okay. And here is, you know, the Cardinals just went 8-2 against the likes of the Brewers, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers. Here's their schedule coming up. These are the teams they play: Cincinnati, Cleveland, Kansas City. This is all before the All-Star break. Pittsburgh, Texas, Cincinnati again, San Francisco, the Mets, Washington, the Cubs. Then they do have a little bit of a stretch with Houston and the Yankees. But then they close before the All-Star break with Miami and the White Sox. Then they have the Nationals after that and the Marlins again and the Cubs after that. So I guess what I'm saying is they could be ahead by the All-Star break, ahead of that division. They're five games behind the Brewers right now. They're plus 220 right now. We may never see this price again.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. No, I totally get that with the Cards. And again, no matter how down we got about them and how bleak it looked, they were never buried in the division. Yeah. And that's what it always comes down to. No matter how bad you're playing, where are you in relation to your opponents? And even with the negative outlook that we had on what was going on with their pitching, the other central teams just could not bury the Cards.
The A's. My goodness. I could go through the A's schedule now and do the exact opposite. They've won 10 games. They've got nothing but like a murderer's row in front of them. The season went on. By the way, shout out to Steve Fezzik because he has texted in this show and we've relayed his text every time. The A's adjusted season win total keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. Now we're in the high 40s. We're at about 47.5. Doesn't that seem too high? Like, are they going to cull together 38 more wins this season? Come on.
Probably. Probably. Oh, man, I knew it. It's baseball. We've been around too long. Like, it's so hard to put a team down that much. Like, they're so bad, right? I'm not even here to like cape for the A's at all. They're horrible, but it's really hard to lose that many. Maybe they'll do it. You know, maybe they've reached different heights and set different records based on what they've been able to do with you know, their shoestring budgets and success. Maybe they want to reach the bottom and say, hey, look at how far we can sink. We have like a $9 payroll. These are all terrible players, apparently. And maybe they'll just reach the depths of it and, you know, blow out the Cleveland Spiders. No, I still think that they can win. You said, what, 38 more the rest of the way?
Yeah.
I think that they can. They are really, really bad, though, too. They're really bad.
Let's just throw that.
Really, really bad. They have no bullpen. And that's the thing, too. That's always the mark of a really bad team is their bullpen, right? Because if you do get a lead, your offense, you know, plays well for the first few innings, your starter does all right, it's going to get blown. And that's the thing with these A's, with this A's team right now, is that no lead of any amount is safe with them. Not that they can even build that big of leads, but even in a world where they could, that bullpen that just, I mean, I could name these guys and I guarantee you some of them you wouldn't know that they were actually baseball players.
I would tell you you're making it up. By the way, I lied. It wasn't 47.5. It was 48.5. I stand correct.
Okay.
My apologies.
And they have to win 39 to get you there.
That's correct.
I think they can.
You think they can? Here,
I mean, I don't think I would touch it as a bet either way. I don't think.
Just for giggles. They got Seattle next. They got Houston. They got Atlanta. They got Miami. Okay, you get the idea. What are your DFS plays of the day? What do you like today?
I'm probably going double stack on big pitchers today because I think you can afford Coors. There's Coors all week, by the way. They get Miami starting tonight. Over on DraftKings, I like the double pitcher. You go Castillo, Javier. You can still fit in a lot of Marlins. Now, you have to have the Marlins on your team, but if you're somebody who likes to play Coors, usually it's pretty tough to get aces there, but you can get like Nick Fortes, Gene Segura, Brian De La Cruz, Jorge Soler with Castillo and Javier if you want to go that combo. Now, that's pitchers going against each other, but those are probably the two best guys today. You do undercut your ability to get two wins. I built a lineup where I still got Freddie Freeman in there as well. So I think that's an interesting thing. No, they're not facing each other. Sorry, I'm wrong on that. Seattle's facing Oakland. Houston's facing Milwaukee. So go Castillo, Javier. Can still get some Coors and still get a star or two elsewhere.
Real quick, then the last 30 seconds. The club here, as we pass the quarter mark of the season, the club that you think is poised for a big surge, that they're underperforming, the club that you think is the most overperforming right now.
Most overperforming is probably, man, I don't know. I'm not super hot on the on the O's being this good. Like I like that they're backing up what they did last year. As far as team that's going to rise, it's probably the Cardinals that we talked about. Let's be honest. I'll take the easy answer there.
Yeah. The run differential corroborates what you're saying about the Orioles, as much as I hate to say it. Right. I mean, they shouldn't be this good based on that.
I want them to be good. I just don't know if they're an elite team, and they've been playing elite baseball now, record-wise.
Marlins also huge overperformers based on the one run records as well. Thank you, Paulie. Crazy. Great seeing you.
My man. Take care.
Nick Whalen from RotoWire on the NBA on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.